When you post hunting photos on Instagram, they get censored. When you post on Go Wild, you get virtual fist bumps from fellow hunters. When you buy gear on Amazon, you gas up a billionaire spaceship. When you buy gear on Go Wild, we donate to a camp that teaches kids to hunt, fish, and shoot. See the difference? Go Wild is a free social community built by hunters for hunters. Join today at downloadgowild.com and I'll give you 10 bucks just for setting up your account. And you'll keep unlocking Go Wild rewards as you share content because guess what? We like hunting pictures. Join at downloadgowild.com or in the App Store.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast, your home for all things outdoors in the Badger State. I'm your host, Josh Raley, and today we are chatting with Isaac Smith from Vector Custom Shop. Now, if you've not heard of Vector Custom Shop, you've probably been living under a rock or at least haven't been researching arrows online recently. They have put out a website with a calculator on it that essentially tells you exactly the weight of arrow that you need. In fact, you go in and you plug in your information such as your draw weight, your draw length, your preferred broadhead weight, what exactly it is that you're hunting, what kind of vane you want on there, and it basically spits out and tells you exactly the kind of arrow that is right for your setup. And they send it to you in the mail and you shoot it and things are good to go. They've got a really high success rate with this calculator that they've got. And I tell you, I'm super, super excited about it. Their gear is also great for other reasons too. Their arrow called the Hammer, or the HMR, is a thick-walled carbon arrow, which is giving it a lot of durability. It also gives it some nice weight, but it's also a really small diameter arrow. And best of all, Vector is a local company. They're based right here in Wisconsin. In fact, they are about 20 minutes down the road from me. And so I'm pumped up. I'm hoping to be shooting those this coming fall. And you may be wondering, like, why in the world would you be having on right now an episode about arrows? And the reason is because July and August is not the time to be thinking about arrows, right? Like, this is that time of year when I sit back and I start thinking to myself, okay, what could I have done better this year? What could have gone better? What of my gear performed like I wanted it to? And what of my gear didn't perform like I wanted it to? And it seems like from a lot of folks that I've been talking to, a lot of folks weren't super happy with their arrows. And, you know, I think a lot of that is because the heavy arrow craze. A lot of guys were maybe settling for less than perfect arrow flight. And so during the season that showed up, possibly in poor shots, possibly in just not getting the performance that they anticipated they would get out of the 650 or 700 grain spears they were hurling at deer. And so, so I hope you're thinking about that now, what your arrow setup is going to be for next year, if you weren't happy with it last year. And I would highly recommend that you head over to VectorCustomShop.com and check out everything that they're offering there. They've also got some cool stuff coming up here in 2022. Some stuff is going to be hinted at here in the episode, but can't really get into it right now. I'm going to have these guys on as soon as they are free to talk about some of the really cool products that they've got coming up for next fall. Also, need to announce the winner of our giveaway, but in true podcaster fashion, I'm going to make you wait till the end. Yeah, I'm going to make you wait to the end. Actually, no, I'm not. Okay, here's the winner of the giveaway of the package from Half Rack and the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast. We teamed up for this giveaway together. The winner is going to get a Half Rack snack pack. They're going to get a Half Rack decal. They're going to get a Half Rack vintage patch hat. They're going to get our new t-shirt, the hashtag Limhanger t-shirt, which is awesome, super pumped about that. They're going to get a decal from us as well. So this is over $100 worth of gear going out to, dramatic pause, Micah Oliveira. Congratulations, Micah. We'll be reaching out here in the next little bit, if we haven't already, to get your information and find out where we need to be shipping all of this awesome stuff. I do want to say a big thanks to the guys over at Half Rack. If you haven't already, head over to half-rack.com and check out some of the gear that they've got out already. Really great gear priced at a very, very good price point. And I tell you, not a better group of guys around putting stuff out these days. So yeah, half-rack.com. Big thanks to those guys for helping us out with this giveaway. With all of that out of the way, let's go ahead and jump now into the conversation with Isaac Smith of Vector Custom Shop. All right, for this episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast, I am joined by Isaac Smith of Vector Custom Shop. How's it going, Isaac?
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I got to say, it's getting pretty chilly here in Wisconsin.
And yeah, 1 degree this morning where I woke up.
Man, this is not normal for me yet. I've only been here for 2 years. I'm from Alabama originally. So,
oh man,
I'm still adjusting. It's been a lot. So,
no kidding.
Yeah. And you're right down the road from me. You're not too far away. So
yeah, I didn't know that until we were just talking before recording, but it's probably only 20 minutes.
Yeah. Next time we do this, we'll do it. We'll do it in person.
Sounds awesome.
For sure.
Sounds good.
Well, let's kick off with a little profile kind of stuff. Like, where are you from? How did you get into hunting? Like who is Isaac Smith?
Oh man. Well, I grew up in central Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. And ended up in Wisconsin because this is where my wife grew up. So we moved up here, I think 6 years ago, and it's been awesome. It was kind of an outdoors upgrade for me. Right when we moved here, that was kind of when I doubled down on bow hunting and haven't really gun hunted again, you know, since moving to Wisconsin and, just living in an area with a lot more public land and then, you know, just, even fishing opportunities and stuff. Like you don't have salmon and stuff like that in Indiana. So I was pretty stoked moving to Wisconsin and, love the deer hunting, love the culture here and, around hunting and yeah, it's been fun. But, I quit, my job right around when we moved here to Wisconsin as well. And I was doing video production for a couple of years before starting Vector. So, learned a lot, you know, quote unquote, running my own business. It was pretty much just me and some contractors, but, you know, filming commercials and filming content for other companies and kind of, you know, through rubbing shoulders with different companies that we were serving, like figuring out what I'm going to do kind of long-term and what unique opportunities are available in whatever market I'd want to be in. And obviously I wanted to work in the outdoor industry. I wanted to find a way to, you know, have to go hunt more and test things and rub shoulders with people who were excellent hunters and learn from them. And, you know, it's something that I want our kids to grow up, you know, doing. And so what better way than, you know, find a niche in the outdoor industry that we could do something meaningfully different in. So that's kind of how I ended up in arrows. Cause you know, there's a lot of innovation happening around bows and, you know, other areas of outdoor tooling, but not much innovation happening around arrows. So, we've really only kind of had a proof of concept out available to the market so far, but this year's going to be gangbusters. Got a lot of new stuff coming. So
man,
very excited.
That's awesome. That's all, you know,
thanks, man.
We talked for the first time. I think it was back during the summer. I can't remember, but it was just a quick chat and
sure.
Dude, you were absolutely slammed. Like we tried to kind of work out a time that we could chat more and it was just like, dude, I'm all over the place. And I was kind of busy too, but I was like, man, all right, I'll catch back up with that guy later. So how are things at the shop now?
I'm sorry about that.
No, good. You guys were like in the middle, you were about to travel. You were in the middle of getting a bunch of orders out and you were trying to hire people.
Yeah. Okay. So
it was nuts.
It was kind of a crazy spike right around August of, well, July. Yeah. Beginning of July of 2021. And I started Vector in February of 2020. So it had been just over a year that I had been you know, operating. But it was like super chill. I could fulfill most orders by myself. Had one or two helpers fletching arrows, but they weren't even like employees. They were just, you know, contractors, like, or basically friends I paid as contractors, like when I needed it. And it was, you know, not really, profitable, 'cause I was ordering so little materials that it cost, you know, a lot to order materials. And, so summer of 2021 comes around, we somehow score a contract with the Hunting Public, and first time they posted on Instagram that we made them like a Hunting Public edition arrow with their branding on it. It was just like, I just, you know, sat by the computer and could hear ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Like, and the whole time I'm thinking, you know, we set a cap like where we'd be sold out at, because that's what we had materials for. And I had like sold my car to get more arrow shafts and like just crazy stuff like that in preparation. But, you know, just all in, you know, and, but then it was a problem of, okay, now we have to assemble all these to fit the user's specs and all that stuff. So I think I had at that point two full-time employees just fletching arrows all day. And I needed like eight or something like that. And nobody wants to work right now. So I was, the two of the guys from THP came to the shop to just talk about some stuff. 'Cause a couple of them are local. They're here in Wisconsin, and they were like, well, if you need to hire more people, like, we know that's tough. Like, we'll make another Instagram post and say that you're hiring. And so, you know, and I'd been advertising for help. I'd been asking, you know, people in the drive through at Taco Bell, like, hey, you want a different job? Like, I was desperate.
Dude, recruiting at Taco Bell, man, that's,
I was desperate. And like, I was working a million hours. Like, when the guys in the that were fletching, you know, would clock out, like, I have to get another 30 orders built, you know, I'm going to be here all night, you know? So, but that's how it goes. You know, it's, I don't know. It was a crazy time. And then, so they made a post. We had like 36 applications in the first day, and they were all, well, I mean, probably at least 2/3 of them were local, like in driving distance. And we hired, I think, the first 12 people who showed up. And, you know, that it was somewhat seasonal work. So like, we don't have, 12 people on at this point. It's still very small, lean operation. I think we've got, probably 9 people, on the team right now. So, 'cause it has slowed down, and, we're learning. I have a lot to learn. You know, it's been a crazy experience for sure. But the whole fall was just explosive. We were slammed. And somewhere in there, I snuck in a Montana trip and, found a partner to run operations. You know, had to find people to turn this into a real company, for lack of a better term.
turn this into a real company, you know, now.
Yeah. So that's been the evolution of, you know, Vector over the last 6 months, 8 months, like scrapping to figure out how to, provide this great value that we promised our customers and not keep them waiting forever. The lead times were really challenging. Like, when it was never about materials, it was never about shipping. Like, through 2020, yeah, like, I was ordering, you know, maybe 1,000 shafts at a time, to build everybody's arrows. And sometimes shipping would be estimated at 2 weeks and it would take 6 weeks. And that was frustrating because it was COVID, all the COVID shipping mess. But once THP kind of blew us up, it was just labor. You know, we had all the parts, but like we don't have enough hours in the day to build everybody's arrows, you know. So at this point, we're building our own machinery to manufacture better and faster. That's a crazy, whole other crazy rabbit hole and learning experience, building a manufacturing process and, you know, proprietary tooling and whatever. And we've also been putting 100% of cash earned, back into building a catalog, building a couple other products where we think there's a hole we can fill. So yeah, it's going to, that's all coming in the next few months here.
That's incredible. You know, I wanted to have you guys on in the fall, but if anything, it probably would have made your situation worse, getting more orders in.
Maybe.
But as I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? This is the time of year where people are kind of coming off of their season and they're either happy with their equipment or they're not, right? They're either happy with the way their arrows have shot or performed, or they're not happy with them. And honestly, August is not when you need to be buying your arrows.
No,
you need to be ordering them now or February so that March, April, May, you can be getting dialed in. You can be shooting, you can be building that confidence. Cause it's more than just about making sure you can hit something. It's about that confidence. I know that this arrow is going to perform every single time. And, not only have I shot, targets with it, but I've shot, you know, logs with it, and I know it's not going to shatter into a million pieces. And I've shot it through a metal building like you guys did the other day, apparently. That was
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was on the Instagram story, the Vector Instagram. Ben, our R&D guy, he had a accidental release bow. He was shooting my bow, and he's got about 5-inch longer draw length than me, and so he wasn't used to the draw curve or whatever, and punched the trigger halfway drawn. So he wasn't even drawn all the way back, and arrow just zipped right over the target and through the wall of our shop warehouse here. So that was pretty hilarious. We'll have to get that up on YouTube too somewhere. Yeah.
What's your draw length? What's your draw length?
Mine's 27 and a half.
27. Okay. So he's got a long,
He's a 32.
That plays into a question that I want to ask in a little bit. That's why I'm asking, as we start talking about optimal arrow weights and that sort of thing, especially for guys with shorter draw who aren't quite pushing as much energy.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'm currently changing my mind on, actually. And so I'd love to share kind of the things that I find important and not. But I should mention also, really, the defining difference that I wanted to build Vector with was ease of use, and arrows can be confusing for people. So I wanted to build a dynamic spine calculator on the website that you could punch in your specs, your draw length, draw weight, broadhead weight, and it should spit out the ideal arrow based on like what shaft you're selecting and what game type you're going for, things like that. Like I wanted to build that tool because it exists elsewhere in like tools like Pinwheel or Archer's Advantage. But pretty much if you're using Archer's Advantage to find out, you know, exactly the point weight that's going to tune for your shaft and your bow and all the other elements, like, then you kind of don't, if you're using a tool like that, then you're probably not, in desperate need of, what we're doing on our website. But I mean, a lot of people still love the product and they'll still come by it anyway, cause it's an awesome arrow. It's unique in itself. So, but you can basically go through the tool on the website and then hit add to cart and it's done. And you have an arrow that is 90 to 95% sure to tune really well out of your bow. And I'd say 90 to 95%, because not because 5 to 10% of people don't get them to tune, but because maybe 5% of people follow up and say, "Hey, it's really close. How do we get it to 100? And then I shouldn't speak out of turn, like as far as success rate, getting things to fly perfect, but it's like unbelievable. Like almost zero customers over the last year, you know, where we built arrows for thousands and thousands of people, weren't able to get them to fly like crazy good. So because that calculation is taking into account, so many different factors to get an arrow that tunes really good for you, and they're all manually spine aligned. So you get a really consistent set of arrows. So the accessibility to a better setup, that's really what, the whole goal was. And then if you create an account on the website, when you're running low on arrows, you can just log into your account, go to past orders, order more of the exact same thing, not have to change your bow, not have to change your tape. So once you're happy with the setup, it's like, you know, I have that feeling too. Like even now I change things up pretty often because I, you know, I'm experimenting with different arrow weights and shafts and things, and especially with new product development. But it's like this nasty feeling when you have two or three arrows left and you love this setup and you're hitting the woods with two arrows. It's like, I'm going to have to redo like my whole setup when I build new arrows, you know?
Yep. Oh dude, I am right there. Like as we speak. Yeah. Yeah. Like as we speak. So it's like, this is timely for me. And man, I gotta say one thing that I want to draw to the attention of those who are listening. Like, there have been a lot of startups in the hunting industry over the last 2 years, let's say. COVID has been very bad for shipping, but it has been very good for the hunting industry in a lot of ways. Like a lot of folks are just doing better than they ever have before in the hunting industry. So, but the thing that I've seen with these startups is quality control issues all over the place. And I'm not going to name any names, but holy smokes, the quality control issues that I'm seeing from startup companies. And I'm like, that's the thing you can't do as a startup. Like there's a lot of things you can mess up on, and that's not it. You know, like lead times, people will forgive you for lead times. People understand lead times.
Yeah.
Quality control, when they get their stuff, you can't do that. And I haven't seen any of that from you guys.
Yeah. So I'll share the big hiccup we had. Because I'm betting even some of your listeners experienced this. It was kind of a brief catastrophe. But because of supply chain stuff through COVID, the manufacturer that was creating our wraps changed materials without telling us.
Oh.
And we were just ordering more of the same. And didn't catch that the adhesive was different, that the UV coatings, that was like a UV coating on a vinyl wrap is basically like, so if it's left out in the sun, the UV light doesn't fade the printing on the vinyl. So things had changed, and it just like completely did not work with the vein adhesive we were using and the way we were prepping the shaft with, you know, chemicals to remove oil and stuff before putting the wrap on, like, and it held up, you know, the arrows held up through our quality control. And then when we'd put them in a box and it was crazy humid in August, the wrap would peel up.
Oh man.
You know, so it, you know, people every day, it was a full-time job, if not more, to just try to keep up with people whose wraps were peeling off. And, you know, we immediately ditched that material once we, you know, it didn't take long to narrow down. And it was an extremely expensive fixed. We're like running around to like printing shops, like within driving distance, like trying to get, the material we had been using before, and pulled it off. I think everyone is happy. I think everyone got replacement arrows, and like we tried to go above and beyond, but like when you're getting like thousands of orders for the first time and you have like two people trying to like clean up the mess, like, wow, that was hard. So in the spirit of transparency, I think everybody's happy. It was damage control. It was like, definitely felt like, wow, we're getting really thrown in the deep end here, right at the kickoff, you know, of people actually knowing about Vector and watching Vector. That was crazy.
Yeah. Well, then that's a big difference because, you know, I didn't even know you guys had a quality control issue. So, you know,
well, good.
At least you
tried to clean it up.
It sounds like you cleaned it up and made people happy, because I'm seeing the others all over social media, and I'm part of a lot of different forums, and I'm seeing people in the forums talking about all the different products, and you guys never came up, so much so that I never even heard about it. So, hey.
Well, that's awesome.
Good job cleaning it up.
I appreciate that feedback. I mean, most people are shocked to like hear that, but I mean, that's the main reason that now we're anything we can have our hands on to maintain quality control ourselves, like we're taking every step to, you know, keep things in house where we're assembling things. We're, you know, looking at every piece of every product that goes out, because it's like, you know, if we outsourced fletching to China, which we've experimented with, like, yeah, it cuts our labor and down by 90% for them to just fletch our arrows for us. And they do a great job. But what if something's wrong with the wrap? You know, and then we have a pallet full of arrows we can't sell, you know, and thousands of dollars, like, you know, they have inventory we can't sell. So we have to, we're learning a lot about manufacturing and lean manufacturing and being efficient and focusing on the value that customers come to us for, and cutting out all the other, you know, BS. Like, where it's a very minimal product, a very high quality product. We don't spend money on anything that like we wouldn't care about. Like, there's no fancy graphic on the shaft. There's no really excessive branding or anything, like on a box or carton that, you know, costs an extra couple bucks. Like, that's stuff that we are going to this year. But it just hasn't made sense yet. So we're not, you know, trying to spend money on what people don't come to us for, which is just a great arrow that is built to fit you and perform really well in a hunting scenario. So does that make sense?
Oh man, absolutely. And it, you know, it really feeds right into the second thing that I wanted to bring up about you guys is I'm the kind of guy that for up to this point in my hunting career, I enjoy the hunt. I enjoy scouting. I enjoy all kinds of things. I love shooting my bow. I love all kinds of stuff when it comes to hunting. Figuring out arrows is not one of them. You know what I mean? To me, honestly, weapons have always been a tool, right? Like guns are cool, but they're a tool. Bows are cool, but they're a tool for me. Arrows are cool, but they're a tool. I feel like a carpenter can be a good carpenter without understanding the ins and outs of building a hammer and like what makes for a quality hammer. They just got to know that the hammer they got works well for them. And that's kind of where I'm at when it comes to archery equipment. Right. And so when I saw the calculator that you guys put online, I was like, that's what I want. I want something that I can type my stuff into and it comes to me as good quality and it's going to perform well for my purposes without me having to understand all the ins and outs. Cause man, I went down the rabbit hole watching YouTube videos of some people who talk a lot about arrows. We'll just leave it there. And and holy smokes, man, the community can't even agree with itself with all the different opinions of what makes for a quality arrow and what you should do and what your setup should be like and what's going to tune and what's not going to tune and why it's not tuning from your bow and whether you should tune the arrow to the bow or the bow to the arrow or all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, that's exhausting. I want to, I want Vector to do it. You know what I mean? Like
to do it for me.
That's right. That's right. And I want to shoot them and I want them to shoot. Okay. Like I want them to shoot well for me in my scenario. So I would love for you to tell me about what makes Vector Arrows at this point a quality product. Like what sets you guys apart?
Yeah.
Besides this algorithm, which I think is a tremendous service to hunters. And besides the fact that you're not a big box store, you're a company where I can call and talk to a real life person, right? Also, though, you've got quality products. So what makes these arrows that you guys are putting out of a higher quality, and what kind of innovation have you guys brought to the market in the actual arrow itself?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so the original idea was actually to build the calculator, but then have like other brands' products as an option for like once you performed the calculation, it could spit out, you know, different arrow builds with like Black Eagle shafts or, you know, stuff that's already available on the market. But that pretty quickly evolved into, well, why would you just sell everybody else's stuff? It's pretty easy to like make a shaft, and why not make it different or, you know, meaningfully different while you're at it? So I was really liking shooting micro shafts, like the VAP or the Deep Impact from Black Eagle. Like thought those were great arrows. And I thought Ethics Archery was making really good components for micro shafts that made them more durable, made them not explode like some of the Victories and things like that. So I was thinking, how do we just make a micro shaft that doesn't break? And so the hammer was the answer. And I feel really blessed to have accidentally created a product that we keep finding benefits to the way it was made. And at first it was an accident. So I don't know how else to say it. It's not because we're smart. We're learning on the back end, like, okay, we really like this arrow so much. Like, why is it so forgiving? Why does it just feel different when you shoot it? Like I can't really put words into it, but, what I wanted was a thick walled micro shaft. So if you hold up, you know, look at the knock end without the knock on, and you look at the hammer next to, any other micro shaft, any other 0.166 inner diameter shaft, it's just like the hammer is, you know, sometimes like it looks like twice the thickness of the wall, right? And on the outer diameter, it almost feels like a 204 shaft because it's so stout. So the additional material, you know, makes it heavy, makes it very durable. But now what we're finding is because to achieve that weight and stiffness ratio, we had to use a very low modulus carbon fiber, which is interesting because lower modulus carbon fiber is more forgiving. So there, you know, and the higher modulus carbon you go towards something that's very light but stiff, that's where you get into like the VAP elites and things like that, that they are light at a lower spine. So like you can get a 250, 300 spine shaft that's very light because it's a high modulus carbon, and they're great arrows, but it also, the higher modulus you go, the more brittle they become. So building the toughest micro shaft led us to the low modulus carbon, but we got a lot of forgiveness with that as well. It's very, very ductile. So that was a happy discovery. And it kind of explained some of the feedback we were getting initially was, this is such a forgiving arrow in terms of tuning. There's such a wide window of like how you can adjust your point weight and you can still tune it so easily and more so than other arrows. It gave you just a massive tuning window. So that's also what lent it to using this tool, where we're not with people doing their setup, but taking down minimal information, draw length, draw weight, point weight, we can give you an arrow that tunes overwhelmingly, you know, often. So the shaft was a happy discovery. And then the components, we've used ethics components, and there's some more coming on that around the March timeline. So we're going to do some, there's a lot of innovating to be done around our current system, and then a couple of arrow systems that we're really excited to get out there in the world that do different things than a hammer. But that forgiveness and durability was really key to focus on. So, and then we're four fletching as a standard. Everything's four fletched. And everything is like straight 1 degree right offset on the veins. And this is something we're also changing. So I'm at this point, like even in the last couple of weeks, to be honest, like we're reviewing data points from customers who have been successful or unsuccessful or whatever feedback we've collected. And we're looking at making changes. So this is I don't even really know how to clearly talk about it just yet, but what we're working on as a company is releasing updates in generations. So the hammer generation 1 is what's available right now. When gen 2 comes out, we're going to make these 3 meaningful changes, right? And here's why. So adding a little bit of helical might be one of those changes that, you know, we didn't want to add helical originally, and we wanted to keep it almost a straight vein. It's only 1 degree offset because that kept it quiet. And research shows that, you know, there's tons of research showing that deer duck an arrow because of the sound of the arrow, not because of the sound of your bow releasing. You know, so we wanted to keep that arrow as quiet as possible, especially because the hammer is often a very heavy arrow. It's not moving as fast, so it had to be quiet, right? So, and that was effective. It's a very quiet arrow relative to others. So, but now we ditched our high profile vein and we have a mid profile and a low profile. So with the less surface area on the vein, you can get away with putting a helical on it and it's not any louder. So it's those things that we're kind of evolving the product, and I don't want to just sell you a box of arrows that's, you know, it's never going to change. These things, they should be getting better as we continue doing research and giving our own product upgrades, right? And especially with something like an arrow system, I feel like there's, like I said at the beginning, there's just a lot of innovation to be done. And I don't want to put a product out there and say, we're done with this one, that it'll never change, you know? So hopefully Gen 2, hammer, comes out towards the end of Q1, beginning of Q2. And that will have better durability, better knock, better vane options. And for a reason, and we shoot everything out of a shooting machine out to very long distances and watch how changes in velocity and control of the vanes and, you know, all of the above. And there's a couple of crazy smart guys that we have access to now that help us with that. Like, I'm not smart enough to do that stuff. Like, I'm listening to some very smart people who say, here's this tiny little change you could make that would be an improvement. Right. And we've kind of silently made a couple of those, like removing the high profile vane, that Fusion X or Fusion 2, the high point. It was just too much drag for most people's setups. And at a really long distance, if you shoot to 100 yards, that excess drag causes a little bit of parachuting. And it might fly perfect out to 50, 60. Which is, you know, the most 98% of our users ever did, right? But by making that mid-profile, the Fusion X2, a standard, and then giving you the option to go to a small profile, the SL or the super low, that was an improvement that we just didn't want to wait for Gen 2 to make the change, so we just did it, you know.
I gotta tell you, if I'm ever good enough to notice a little bit of parachuting at 100 yards, I'm gonna be real happy. Like,
heck yeah, yeah. Me too. I and that's why it's like when David Williams is kind of a mentor around here. He's consulted in the archery industry for decades. You know, was a big part of developing heavy arrow products and we're not necessarily like a heavy arrow company. But the hammer is a heavy arrow product. And, so he can speak in formulas and equations for an hour and I'm just lost, you know, but you know, people like that who, our team has access to, and they've been very involved and, and Ben, our R&D guy, he wrote, he and David wrote the algorithm that's on the website. And, there's a lot of new stuff coming around that, tool as well. So yeah, it's cool. They bring these little things to me and I'm just like, man, I don't know how I'd ever have come to that conclusion by just, using the product, you know, in the wild, so to speak. But it's like it's the little stuff that adds up, you know, and we're trying to make the best performance, the most accessible option, right? So it's compounding all those little things that make it a little bit better. And as we get towards generation two, like developing those things that take it a little bit further, make it a little easier to tune, make it a little better, in forgiveness and flight and durability. Like it's exciting.
Yeah, so, man, that's good stuff. Yeah. You know, I honestly, for the first good while of my bow hunting career, I always felt like, you know, high performing options were out of reach for me because I'm not a bow nerd, because I don't, you know, I'm not going to necessarily, sure, you know, do my own arrows up in my garage or that kind of thing. Like, sure, I was the kind of guy, I'm going to run down to Cabela's and I'm going to buy whatever box is on the shelf, yeah, probably for the cheapest, whatever they've got on sale, sure, during the deer event for the year. And I'm going to try to make my bow shoot those in a decent way. And man, lots of frustration, sure, lots of difficulty, but also feeling like unless I'm going to sink 100 hours into this, this is as good as it's going to get for me.
Yeah. And part of bow hunting, like this is where there's some conflict for me, is we love bow hunting because we love to get close. The adrenaline of being 20 yards from your target, you know, is that's the addiction, right? So I don't want to build tools that give people this false confidence that they can, you know, send it at 80 yards. so there's, that's a point of conflict for me, I guess, a little bit, but still, like, I love shooting out to 80 yards. Like, I'm not the best archer. I'm nowhere close. You know, I'm learning. But to have confidence, that kind of confidence, it's like, I'm still going to cap my shots on a whitetail at 40 or whatever. But I just, yeah, the confidence is really the result that you're after, you know, in a hunting situation where it's like, I'm not even thinking about where the arrow is going to go. Right. Because I know.
Yep. Well, that's the big thing that, right. Like when you're in the woods and your target steps out, whatever that is, and you draw back.
Yeah.
And when your thinking can shift from, I hope I hit this deer to, or I hope I hit it. I hope I hit him good to, I know I'm going to hit him good. And I know my arrow is going to get good penetration. I know it's not going to snap in half on impact, you know, or stick and then snap as soon as he pulls his leg back necessarily. Like that's huge. Right.
It is
a long way.
Yeah, that's big. It's just waiting for the right opportunity. But then when the opportunity comes, ideally you have confidence that you know what's going to happen. So.
That's right. So I want to dive into this piece just a little bit. You've got a 27.5-inch draw, which isn't, that's not a lot. And I'll
be a shrimp. Yeah,
man. Mine's 26.5. So
26.5. Okay. Yeah,
so I've got a pretty short,
right on.
26.75. There we go. Well, give me 3/4. So I have a pretty short draw and, you know, as you know, moving to heavier arrows, changes your trajectory pretty significantly and it can have an impact. So how have your thoughts, and you said we're not a heavy arrow company, but we have a heavy arrow product. So how have your thoughts on heavy arrows changed over the last bit of time? Like where are you at right now? And for a guy like me, what are you saying is like, here's what you need as FOC? Because if I watch YouTube and I walk away with less than 25% FOC, I'm not sure I can kill a deer. You know what I mean? Like they basically left me wondering, like, can I even do it? And then I go watch other shows and they're like, you know, who cares? Put this 48 grain, 3.5-inch cut mechanical on your, you know what I mean? Like just extremes are out there. So what are your thoughts?
So it's a very interesting thing to now have data points to look at. We have enough customers that you can extrapolate data. You can see, you know, trends and assume from trends what is making people successful or not. And really, the hammer is for the average guy going to be between 500 and 600 grains, the way that our website's going to build it for you. And I believe you're not gaining anything past 550 at this point, except for confidence. Right? Like, at past 550 grains, you're buying that arrow most likely because you want to know that when the deer moves and the arrow's in flight, it will still go through anything.
Yeah.
So I think of, Greg Tubbs. I don't know. Do you know Greg Tubbs?
We've talked just a little bit on Instagram and I need to connect with him a bit more.
He's a great guy, great hunter, lives up the road in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin here. And he's on another podcast. He's host of another podcast.
Yep, The Okayest Hunter. But
The Okayest Hunter podcast plug. Greg shot a doe. This story just sticks out of my mind because he's local. I thought you might know him, but he shot a doe that was like on high alert. I don't remember the range, but the doe spun towards him when he released and it went in like, you know, below its jaw and he got like a full, like long ways body pass through on a doe, like came out its back leg. So literally head to butt, you know, I love stories like that. Right.
Yeah.
And sure is about a 600 grain arrow, but, with the iron will head on it. But I think about that now. And I think like if that arrow was 100 grains less, if it was a 500 grain arrow and it had the iron will head on it, I believe wholeheartedly would have done the same thing, you know, and he would have had better trajectory too. So I don't know. My thinking has shifted from like total aero weight being the reason that that works and that result happens to, I'm thinking more about the head now, and that head stayed sharp all the way through, you know, every bone and bit of hair and fat, all the way through the back leg, like that head staying sharp. I think that's, you know, an extremely high priority. I don't know if I'd say number one or number two, but like it's tied up there at the top along with perfect arrow flight and the arrow not breaking. Like if you have an arrow that flies perfectly, which is important because if it doesn't fly perfectly, you're just bleeding off all the energy on the way to the target. Right. And you have a head that stays sharp, and you have components that don't break. Like, I mean, I'm describing the arrow that a lot of light arrow guys use with great success. Like, you know, you're going to pay for them because if you want light components that don't break, you're getting a very high quality materials, right? It's not aluminum 11 grain inserts in a cheap arrow, you know, you're going to get, you know, you're going to pay for it. So, the heavy arrow thing is kind of, I think, misunderstood pretty widely because everybody looks at the Ashby reports. And Ed Ashby is an amazing man and has accomplished a ton. Like you think of, you know, what he's done for bow hunting across the globe. Like he got all PR around bow hunting changed because of Ed Ashby. Like it wasn't even legal or seen as an ethical way to hunt in like across most of Africa and Russia. Like he legalized bow hunting, across Africa. Like that's pretty cool. So huge accomplishments, but at the same time, like he hunted with a longbow, you know? And he wasn't extremely thorough in, or not thorough. I mean, he killed a lot of stuff. He had a lot of data points, but it wasn't extremely objective. Like he kind of propped up his assumptions in a lot of testing, which is a lot to get into right now. But we have these modern bows. It's like, you're putting so much more energy into that arrow and it is, it's a different animal entirely. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's my mind is changing. You know, at first I had all the confidence in the world cause I shot a 600 grain arrow, you know, but now I have all the confidence in the world because I have great trajectory, you know, and I am going to put that arrow right where I want it. Not that you can't with a heavy arrow, but if you like, the last 2 years, I have gotten out west to elk hunt and there's been a couple times, where like, and I was unsuccessful both years, my first times elk hunting Colorado and then this last year, Montana, but it's like, I shoot a single pin sight, right? Or it's the spot hog with the two pins. And, it is nerve wracking, man, to get your range, you know, 56 yards on an elk that's freaking moving. Right. And it takes that elk no time to move 10 yards. So then I have to adjust and draw and get a shot off before I'm holding over too far one way or another. Right. That anxiety, like in the moment, it's always going to be there. Cause you're shooting an arrow, like, but it can be a lot less if you know that 10 yards difference is only 6 inches instead of 16 inches. Right. So it is a very personal decision is the answer. Are you taking, what kind of shots are you taking? What kind of, application are we building a neural for? Like, those are things that Vector is working on asking the right questions so we can give you a purpose built arrow. And if it's a little lighter, then it has to not break. It still has to fly perfectly. And faster arrows can be harder to tune, you know? So what head are you putting on it? Like, maybe we need to work on heads that fly real good, real fast, you know? So I don't know. Does that make sense? Or I just totally rambled.
Oh man, that's so good. Lots of big questions out there too, because, you know, I went into this season, had a new arrow set up right around 550 grains, because I had from all the reading and watching and listening that I'd done, I'd come to a similar conclusion. Past 550, I don't, you know, I can shoot a deer with 750 grains, but it's not going to be any more dead than it with 550. But I shot some big name broadheads that are made very popular from people in the heavy arrow crowd, and both broadheads that I recovered were eaten up when I pulled them.
Really?
Oh, they were the you can see a picture on Instagram of the edge just totally chipped all along from both of these heads, and they were not like bone smashing shoulder hits that should have come out just totally mutilated.
Yeah. It's a weird thing when you hit the squishy stuff and that still happens. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm left thinking like, okay, like there are other things at work here that I need to take into account for the next year. And, broadhead is one of them. So,
sure.
But yeah.
We're working on broadheads. Full disclosure.
Oh, dude, I was just about to ask that. Is that a thing that you guys see in your future?
Big time. Yes. A lot of people have asked for them because we can apply the same user experience to broadheads, right? Depending on what you're doing and what arrow we're giving you, how big of a cut gives you confidence, or, you know, are you shooting a little further distance? You need a little different kind of profile. It's like, there's things to take into account with broadheads, same as arrows, right there. And it's a jungle of information out there. Nobody knows who to trust. So, so we've developed more of a broadhead system that I can't tell you like the special sauce around it yet, but
that's all right.
I'm really excited to show them to you, when the time comes, but it will be a essentially a broadhead that you can experiment with, and you can find for yourself what matters and what doesn't, because you'll be able to change things on it.
I will say, I hope that I can buy replaceable blades for said broadhead. And I can really
tell you that's going to happen for sure.
Because man, sharpening is just for the birds. I don't have the time or the desire to do that. Like, that's just, I rank that up there with figuring out my own arrow weights, right? Like I don't want to do that. I want something to do it for me. Also, you know, I like and appreciate fixed blade heads, but I really want to see a high quality, very durable mechanical.
I'm with you, man. I would have thrown up in my mouth saying that a year ago, but now it's like, okay, there's a couple of really good mechanicals out there. Like Evolution makes the Hide. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh man. Yeah. Evolution Outdoors maybe. Yeah. I just bought some of them. It's the guy who started Grim Reaper, and after he sold it, he started Evolution.
Are those the set that's like $100 for three?
They're not cheap. I don't think they're $100.
I did see some some really heavy mechanicals online.
Yeah, they make a 125 and maybe a 150 grain mechanical.
Okay, that might have been then.
Yeah, a lot of people love them. I just got them in. I haven't killed anything with them yet, but there's some people doing it. But yes, I would. that's like a pipe dream right now, but a fixed head system first. But there's also, you know, there's some wide cut heads that fly amazingly, like the Iron Will Wide. And it's like, man, that's almost as big a cut as your mechanical. It's not going to fail.
Sure. You know? Yeah, that's exactly right. The collar is not going to keep it from opening, you know, or something crazy. I hate seeing those pictures of different broadheads that didn't, you know, collar intact around the blades and just never. But anyway, well, man, we're coming up on an hour, and I really appreciate you coming on. I feel like we have just barely scratched the surface of everything that goes into Vector Arrows and everything that you guys are doing. So really looking forward to hopefully having you on again. I'd love to talk more in detail, especially when some of these products start to get to the point where you can share a little bit more. So
I'd love to do that. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, are you still hunting?
Sounds awesome.
Are you still hunting or are you done?
Man, I have hardly hunted this year because of Vector. Yeah. So it was, you know.
That's what you get for starting a company so you can hunt more. Now you hunt
I know,
less.
Right? And helping everybody else be successful. it's been a great year, man. I'll probably try to get out for some does in the next couple of days. But yeah, I guess I'm still hunting a little bit, but it's 0 degrees outside right now. So
yep.
I think I'm going to go hunting, but then when the time comes, we'll see.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, man, if you get out,
what about you?
Well, you know, I got out for the holiday hunt and, I saw 0 deer, the field filled up with geese, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like, what am I even doing here?
Yeah.
But I filled my buck tag back in November. So
cool.
I'm just not mad enough at the does to get out there when it's this cold.
Yeah.
You know,
sure. Like, you get some meat in the freezer, pressure's off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that.
And yeah, I've burned up that time with the wife too. You know, it's like,
dude, I hear you. It's a challenge to juggle because it does just take so much time.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of keep saying at this point, if I'm going to hunt, I have to get out of town. I have to get away from Vector and get away from family. And that's kind of how it has to happen. So we've got broadheads to test. And we'll have them in hand any day here. First round of usable prototypes. So taking those to Texas a couple times over the next couple months to shoot pigs and other stuff. So that'll be fun. We've got a lot of testing to do. We want to, you know, we have stuff to sell. So it's like, let's take the time to make this an over delivery, you know, with any products to come. We want people to look at them and be like, how are you doing this at that price point? Like, that's the whole goal. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I'm wondering that already, looking at you guys. Like I'm already wondering that. I mean, I bought some arrows last year and a guy built them for me for basically nothing, but for what I paid for these arrows, I'm like, man, I could have typed into this little algorithm and just boop, arrows show up at my door and it would have been a lot more painless of a process. So anyway, well, man, good luck to you out doing some of your testing. I feel so sorry for you that you have to head down to Texas where it's warmer and shoot a bunch of animals. So if people want to find out more, if they want to research Vector a bit more, where should they go?
VectorCustomShop.com. And if you have questions, hit us up on Instagram at Vector Arrows, or shoot an email to info@VectorCustomShop.com. And that'll be routed to somebody who can get you a good answer on whatever questions you have.
Awesome.
Including tuning. We've been able to fix a lot of tuning issues for people just remotely. I know Ben loves to get those questions and about rests and getting your broadheads to fly right and all that stuff. I mean, again, it's a jungle of information. So we'd like to get that all that info into videos and stuff, and we'll create a lot more content this year around that stuff. But yeah, getting there. Got to get caught up here.
That's right. One thing at a time.
How to operate smoothly first.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
You too. Take care.
And that's all for this week's episode of the Wisconsin Sportsman Podcast. Big thanks to Isaac Was great having him on. Can't wait to have him on again very, very soon to talk about some of the cool things coming out from Vector Custom Shop for 2022. If you don't already or haven't already, head over to vectorcustomshop.com. Check out their arrow calculator and get yourself set up with some arrows for next year. Get practicing with them right now so you can be as confident as you can be in your system by next fall. So, all right, that's all. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. Follow along with us on Instagram. Be on the lookout for more good stuff to come from us here at the Wisconsin Sportsman. And until next time, get outside and enjoy the incredible resource that is ours as Wisconsin Sportsmen.